Most members of Alcoholics Anonymous have heard of the 12 steps of the AA program. Many AAs have taken some of the steps of the 12 steps of the AA program. Some AAs have taken all of the 12 steps of the AA program. But there are very many, I'm afraid, in AA who overlook a very important part of the 12 steps of the AA program. And that part is the last half of the last step, which tells us that we practice these principles in all of our affairs. Now, I believe most of you have known somebody, either personally or vicariously, in public life. People who have become famous in the eyes of the world. And I believe also most of you have known such people who, after a certain time in the public eye, they have suddenly disappeared over the horizon. And the natural question that comes to our mind is why? What happened? Well, there was a violinist that told us one time in the following words. Quote, "If I fail to practice one day, I will notice the difference. If I fail to practice 2 days, my family will notice the difference. If I fail to practice 3 days, my public will notice the difference." So what happened? They stopped practicing. So it is with any activity in life. The true master, to remain the master, must continue to practice. You know, so few people realize this in life. Even love must be practiced. Love is something that doesn't grow and remains as it is. Love either dies or remains and grows deeper and deeper insofar and in direct ratio as I practice actions of love, actions of giving. But I must practice. So in AA, I think all of us have known individuals in AA who have done, as we say, a very fine job. They have become perhaps very well known in AA. They have perhaps stayed sober 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And all of a sudden, they disappear. Not over the horizon, but they tripped over the bottle. Why? I believe the answer is the same. They quit practicing. They quit practicing the principles that we learn in AA, in which we say in the 12th step, we practice these principles in all of our affairs. Now, what are these principles? Are they the principles of law and order? Well, somewhat, yes. We relearn the general principles of life, the Ten Commandments, perhaps the laws of justice and rights, and the various other divine laws and human laws and laws of nature. But in AA, we also learn certain applications of these divine truths or natural truths, which we apply to the alcoholic problem in a very particular way. Now, we will never find, I don't believe, a formal list of these principles. But as I go through them, I'm sure that most of you will recognize most of these principles as principles that we have picked up along the path of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, the first principle we learn in AA is, I am an alcoholic. Not that I was an alcoholic. Not that I'm an ex-alcoholic. I am an alcoholic, and we learn what that meant to me now, that therefore I must practice certain things in life to avoid that first drink. In the past, before we came to AA, we always conjugated that a little differently. You're an alcoholic, he's an alcoholic, she's an alcoholic, they are alcoholics, but not I. Me an alcoholic? Oh no. But now we learn that basic, simple truth of life. I am an alcoholic. That is the first principle we pick up in Alcoholics Anonymous. Then another principle we learn is first things first. In other words, we learn there's a certain sequence of value in life. We learn that first comes God, then comes myself, strange to say, but we will see why in just a moment, then my family, then my friends, and then my enemies. When we were drinking, we didn't do that. We didn't put first things first. We tried to put second things first. That's the reason there was conflict. That's the reason things didn't fall into focus in life. Now, why do I say that I come first next to God? Because in AA we learn that I must take care of me. If I don't, I'm not going to be good to God, to anyone else, in my family, to my friends, or to myself. That's what we call the selfish part of AA. That's true self-love. We were told that in the commandment. Remember, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and thy neighbor as thyself, which means we must first love ourselves. Now, it's therefore only when we put second things first, third things first, that we got into trouble. So now we say first things first. Then we learn the principle in AA of easy does it. One step at a time. A writer one time wrote, when one begins to flee reality, each step is with increasing speed, and with each step, vision narrows. How true that was to the alcoholic. The more we drank, the more we fled reality, the faster we went, and the less we could see our way. And we come to AA and we find easy does it. We come to AA, we're all jittery. We're all concerned. How long is this going to take? Easy does it. Now look, you didn't get drunk overnight. You're not going to sober up overnight. Take it easy, one step at a time. Then we also learn that easy does it means do it. Easy does it doesn't mean let it go. Forget about it. You know, a lot of people use that as an excuse. Easy does it means do it. Then when the time comes, it will be done and everything won't pile up again. The fellow who practices easy does it, he does things, he fulfills his obligations as they arise. Then at the end of the month, they're all taken care of. We don't have a big pile of unfulfilled obligations. You know, most people in life trip when they're running, not when they're walking. Easy does it. It's like the old colored lady who said, when I works hard. And when I sets loose. And when I lies down, I goes to sleep. Easy does it. Then another principle we learn is, there but for the grace of God go I. We learn that we must never look down on the lowest of God's creatures, nor the worst of man's mistake. Now, when we were drinking, we looked down on everybody. We had noses that would make a perfect slide for the Olympics. Those people, why, they were below us. But when we come to AA, we finally realize that I am what I am only through the grace of God. Whether I am accomplished as a talent in life, whether I am secure financially, whether I have special talent in life, whether I have a good job, good health, whatever it may be, whether I'm sober, all because of the grace of God. And when I see someone else, therefore, who doesn't have what I got, there's only one thing. There, but for the grace of God, go I. That keeps us from being cocky and smug. And we know that if God's grace was taken from us, that I would probably be worse than the worst possible person that I can possibly imagine. So no matter who it is, about whom I'm speaking or thinking, no matter how bad or how badly bad off that person is, there, but for the grace of God, go I. That prevents us from judging our neighbor, from being prejudiced. You know what the word prejudice means? It comes from the two Latin words prejudicium. It means judgment before knowledge. And whenever I judge my neighbor, I don't care what the circumstances of his or her life might be, I don't know the whole story, or I could never judge him, because there but for the grace of God go I. Then another principle we learn in AA. 24 hours at a time. We learn to live one day. The past, you know, we used to either dream about the nice things, or we were filled with remorse about the awful things. The future, we used to plan high dreams, or else we feared the obligations of the future. One of the two. But now we're told in AA, put the past into the hands of God's mercy. Put the future into the hands of God's providence. Live one day at a time. That's the way we cut life down to a size we can handle. 24 hours at a time. So therefore, we live one day. Not yesterday, that's gone. Tomorrow may never be ours. We can never live in tomorrow. We can never live in the past, so why try? We can live. And we can live very efficiently. We can live very soberly and very happily right now. 24 hours at a time. And perhaps in the beginning of AA, we had to cut that down to 1 minute at a time sometimes. If I just get by this next minute, you know, and this one coming along. And finally, we were able to go on one day at a time, the 24-hour period. Then the value of acceptance was another thing we learned in AA. How most problems could be solved by accepting circumstances as they are. We refuse to accept reality as alcoholics. We kicked against this, we kicked against that. We wanted what we wanted, when we wanted it, right now. And if we didn't get what we wanted right now, we got awful mad about it. Or got drunk. Or maybe both. But now we learn how easy it is to solve so many circumstances by accepting it. No matter what the circumstance may be, no matter how unsolvable a problem I may have, I can solve it by accepting it. There is no unsolvable problem in life. Because when I accept it, I have solved it. The value of acceptance. Then we learn the danger of resentment. We learn that to the alcoholic, resentment is suicide. We cannot tolerate resentment. Whether we like it or not, now the alcoholic has an automatic tie-up between resentment and the craving for alcohol. If I tolerate resentment too frequently or for too prolonged periods of time, I'm going to crave alcohol again. I'm going to suffer the compulsion over which I will not have control. And how many have learned that the hard way in AA after difficulty? We learned in AA too, because of the importance of this factor, we should use everything we possibly can to avoid resentment. And particularly to refuse to feel the circumstances of life that irritate me, because that's where resentment comes from. Resentment comes from two Latin words, re sentire, which means to refeel. So if something happens, let go. Let go. Then we also learn if we expect criticism, we won't be apt to be so resentful so often. Then there's a lot of gimmicks we learn. For instance, one, if somebody calls you an SOB, you either are or you aren't. And if you are, well, so what? And if you aren't, there's no use making yourself one by getting mad about it. And then, too, another gimmick we picked up is, if you get kicked in the pants, it can only mean one thing, you're still in front. So why become resentful? And we also say in one of the steps, Therefore, when wrong, promptly admitted it, because we cannot tolerate resentment. Even though what he did, he may have been wrong in doing it, I am wrong in being resentful because I'm an alcoholic. And if I stay that way, I'm going to start drinking again. If I keep that inside, it's going to grow and grow and grow, and someday, sooner or later, it's going to blossom and bloom into four beautiful roses. Then we learn that honesty is the best policy. Now, we heard that in school days. We were taught that as little kids in grade school, but we didn't really believe it, did we? Remember the first little white lies? And then there were some black lies. And then we had to tell another black lie to get out of the black lie we told. And then we had to tell a lie to get out of the lie we told, to get out of the lie we told, to get out of the lie we told. And finally, it was a frantic cycle around the clock to continue to lie to get out of the lies we told. And we ended up pathological liars when we come to AA. But then we learned in AA that we again begin to be honest when we admit we are dishonest. And we learn that the alcoholic also cannot tolerate dishonesty. Because if he does, he's going to fool one guy before anybody else. He's going to start fooling himself again. And the first real fooling of himself is going to be when he kids himself into believing he can take a drink again. Honesty is the best policy. Even the AA book tells us honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness are absolutely essential to recovery. Honesty, willingness, and open-mindedness. Absolutely essential to recovery. Honesty is the best policy. Then the value of a full decision is another thing we learned in AA. And all that habit of indecision we had. We sat there in between a decision, not for hours, not for days, but sometimes for months. And even in the little things in life, we were all just a goner. What was it that someone wrote? On the sands of desolation, there bleaches the bones of countless millions who at the very dawn of victory sat down to wait, and waiting died. They couldn't make up their minds. I'm going to give you a paraphrase on that. On the sands of desolation, there bleaches the bones of countless millions in the spiritual life who at the very dawn of sanctity sat down to wait, and died sinners. Indecision. Now in AA we learn that we again pick up the practice of decision and replace the habit of indecision by practice. How did we get the habit of indecision? Sometime long time ago we put something off. Then something else came along, we put that off. Finally we had the habit of indecision. Now we do just the opposite. We make up our minds. Any decision is better than no decision. And we make a decision, we make another decision, and finally, by practice, we finally pick up the habit of decision. The value of the habit of decision. Then we also learn in AA the principle, a very important principle in living, that is, it is in the giving that we receive, not in the demanding. What we give away, we keep. And what we try to keep, we lose. And when we die, the only thing we're going to take with us is that which we have given away. This is a give program. That's the reason we go on a 12-step call, so that we might stay sober, because it is in the giving that we will receive. You know, so many people are discouraged in AA. They make 12-step calls, and they all stay drunk. And they begin to get very discouraged. Oh, what's the matter with me? Maybe I'm not even a good alcoholic. Give me a drink. Whereas, no matter whether that person stays sober or stays drunk, you have succeeded on that 12-step call because you have stayed sober. You have gotten more sobriety. In trying to give it, you have received. It is in the giving that we receive. Then another principle of AA is action is the magic word. We were creatures of wasteful thinking in our drinking days, and most of the thinking was thinking. Oh, how we sat there, you know, with a bottle in one hand and a glass in the other. And finally, we threw away the glass. We didn't need that. And lo and behold, we solved not only all our problems, we solved all the world's problems. Mentally. But we didn't do anything about them. There was no action. And action is the magic word. No problem is solved without action. We can wait till kingdom come and the problem will still be there. Action is the payoff. The 12 steps. How many in AA have taken all 12 steps? Mentally. But action is the magic word. I wonder if we realize that the 12 steps are all written in the past tense, which presume action. We admitted we were powerless. We made a decision. We took an inventory. We continued to take an inventory. We carried the message, all in the past tense, all presuming action, because action is the magic word. Then we also get that excuse that, well, I don't know, something matter. I just must be too weak. I just can't do it. Oh, what an excuse that was for drinking. I see some like that still around, you know. I had one come to me not long ago. He said, well, Father, there's no use kidding myself. No use me kidding you. I'm hopeless. I said, that's a wonderful excuse. If you're hopeless, there's no reason under the sun to try to do anything about it. So just keep on drinking. But in weakness there is strength. We find that we are powerless, but in that powerlessness we come to believe in a power greater than ourselves. We turn our life over to that power, and behold, we are able to accomplish what we of ourselves could never possibly do. So it is in the admission of our weakness that we become strong, not in flexing our muscles, not in flexing our will. We admit our powerlessness, we turn our wills become good, and then the grace of God gives us infinite ability, infinite power, divine power. And that's the reason we pick up the saying in AA, what I can't do, we can do. God and I can accomplish all things. Then also, we learn the value of meditation. Now, in our drinking days, we didn't dare meditate. We didn't dare stop and think too long. We developed a wonderful forgettery, and we didn't want to interfere with that. Meditation, that's for the squares. But in AA, at the end of the last binge, we had to meditate. And that wasn't too nice a meditation, was it? But we learned the value of thinking. That's the reason you see in so many AA halls the word think, T-H-I-N-K, think, the value of meditation, which means to practice again and again thinking over truth, reality, adjustment to living. And we learn that the one who meditates every day will never have a day come when he has to meditate, like we did after the last binge. There will be no more forced meditations. Think. Then we also learned the principles of the Lord's Prayer, which we say to close our AA meetings. We learned that God was all of our Father, equally one and all. Whether we're Catholic, Protestant, Jew, we have one common Father. We are all equally His children. We learn reverence for His name, Thy name. Hallowed be Thy name. We learn the value of doing His will. Thy will be done. In the 11th step, we pray only for knowledge of His will and the power to carry it out. We learn the necessity of seeking only the daily bread. In other words, what we need today, and God will furnish everything else. God will always give us what we need and whatever He chooses to give us over and above that. But He will always give us what we need. We also learn the value of forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. We ask God, forgive us as we forgive. It's a good thing God don't take us at our word sometimes. But we learn that. If we don't forgive, we're asking for it. As we forgive, so God will forgive us. Then we also learned that God alone is the one that can deliver us from evil. Human strength has no power against evil in itself. So if something is evil, God will in His own time and in His own way eliminate it. It's not our job. We only ask God to eliminate evil, to protect us from evil. The principles of the Lord's Prayer. Then we also learned in AA that no one starts at the top. Now, in AA, we always tried to start at the top. Oh, we were always going to be a big shot overnight. And we weren't the big shot by nightfall. We took another drink. I think most AAs, at least many AAs at one time or other during their life, decided to become a saint overnight. And when nightfall came and they ain't saints, they took a drink. No one starts at the top. There's only one creature in God's whole universe that begins at the top, and that's the gadfly. You know what the gadfly is? The gadfly is a little moth-like creature that hatches on the water, and then it zooms and becomes mature at the height of its flight. But then immediately it falls back into the water dead, fish food. The gadfly. No one starts at the top. Then also in AA we learned that we're not different. Oh, what an excuse that was before. Yeah, I know, but you see, I'm different. But now we learn that outside of the alcoholic problem, there's no difference between me and my fellow man. We can adjust to life just as securely, just as happily as anyone else if we want to. We're not different. Underneath the various color of hair, where there is hair, and the various color of eyes and skin and clothing, underneath that body in the soul, there is a human being. There's one in me, there's one in you, created by God for an eternal purpose. And we all have basically the same temptation. The same difficulties. The only reason we think we got them all, because we don't hear about the others so much. That's true. You know, so many people think, well, I got all the problems in the world. And of course, everybody thinks that. And in AA, we start telling each other our problems. And lo and behold, we find that everybody else got just as bad as mine. Some worse. We're not different. We're all human beings trying our best along the pathway of life to adjust day by day to sobriety and to happiness and to grow along spiritual lines. Then we learn that AA is a selfish program. As I mentioned a while ago, that true self-love must be the basis for my building of my sobriety and my adjustment to life. I must first take care of me, then I can build on me for the good of God and my neighbor. But if I don't take care of me, if I reach for that first drink, I'm not going to be good to anybody, that's for sure. Maybe for a long, long while. I must first love myself, and therefore I can love my neighbor and I can love God. I must also first forgive myself. And that's difficult for many of us to realize. So many have difficulty forgiving themselves. If we love ourselves properly, we will forgive ourselves, and then we can build on that to love God and love our neighbor. AA is a selfish program. Life is a selfish program. We are born selfishly. If we weren't born selfishly, no one would go out of their way at all to even save their souls. We are born that way. But we must from then grow into the love of God and the love of our neighbor. Then another principle we learn is the primacy of the spiritual. We learn in AA we're not saints. We're growing along spiritual lines. But we learn that the basis upon which we build is spiritual. Now, the primacy of the spiritual simply means this. Nothing in this world really matters except God and His will. It means that a penitent returning to God is far more important than returning a lost fortune to its owner. It means that a group of people united in humble and sincere prayer are 1,000 times more effective in solving and in preserving the peace of the world than all the machinations of even the greatest and the most astute diplomats. It means that dependence on God day in and day out will keep the worst alcoholic sober and happy. And it also means that it makes little difference whether men confuse Aristotle with Aristides, but it makes a lot of difference whether men confuse gold with God. And it means that a short 15 minutes meditation each day will more surely give peace of mind than endless days and nights spent amidst all the pleasures that the world might possibly give. Finally, it means that there is in reality only one true supremacy in life, and that is the divine power whom we call God. That there is only one true primacy of value, that is the primacy of the spiritual. And that's the reason in all our affairs we practice these principles and seek the will of God before everything else. Now let's see how this works in our everyday life. Let's recapitulate for a moment. Let's take the first principle we learned in AA. I am an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic. Not the other guy. I'm not concerned about him. I am an alcoholic. I am, not was, not used to be. I am still an alcoholic. I can say that each day as the days go by. Alcoholic, we learn what that means. I can't take that first drink. No matter if I'm dry 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, I can't take that first drink. Why? Because I am an alcoholic. I learn, therefore, my limitations. I also learn the advantages of being an alcoholic. That now I can give this to someone else, what the non-alcoholic only can give rarely and on occasion. I also learn, therefore, my responsibilities as an alcoholic to carry the message to other alcoholics. I am an alcoholic. Let's take, for example, in our home relationship, what that means to practice that principle. An honest admission, not an excuse. Oh, I'm an alcoholic. Don't pressure me. And try to get out of everything when the wife tries to ask us to do something. No, that's an excuse. That is not practicing the principle. I am an alcoholic, but I've stopped drinking so I can chip in and be just as good a member of the family as anybody else. I can accept my responsibilities equally with the other member of the family. I am an alcoholic. I also learned that that means that sobriety itself is not enough. In other words, being dry is no great thing to the alcoholic. And there again, how often we use that as an excuse, you know. How many times do you hear the fellow say, "Oh, well, what does she expect? I'm dry, ain't I?" For John's sakes, other people have stayed dry 40 years and they're not claiming any great thing about it. That's only the beginning. I am an alcoholic. All right, I'm dry, but now I must be sober and I must adjust to life. I must be a good husband, a good wife, a good mother, a good father, a good child in the family. I must contribute to the family's welfare. I must contribute to my social welfare, to my friends, and even to my enemies again. Because although I am an alcoholic, I am still an ordinary human being. Then in our business relationship, we learn that being an alcoholic will not necessarily hurt our business relationship. Oh, it wasn't too long ago when everybody was afraid that the boss would find out we're alcoholics, you know. Even when we went to meetings, we were afraid to say it out loud. Were you going to meeting tonight? Now you sit down on your way to meeting in a restaurant and the waiter comes up. Well, hey, are you going to AA? How about a cup of coffee right off? When you apply for a job, we used to shake like the devil, fearing that the boss would ask whether we're alcoholics. Now we're sort of proud when we put it down and then we ask if the boss is one. I am an alcoholic. We learn there's nothing to be ashamed of. I just can't drink. I'm an alcoholic. But I'm happy about something more than that. I'm a member of AA. That I'm proud of. That I'm very happy about. Nothing to be ashamed of. In our social life, therefore, an honest admission. Not when someone says, have a drink, says, no, I got a bad stomach. That's a lie. I haven't got a bad stomach. I got a wonderful stomach. But I can't handle alcohol. That's practicing the principle. I am an alcoholic. And you know, it's amazing when somebody offers me a drink and I say, no thanks, I found out I can't handle alcohol or I'm an alcoholic. They never ask me twice. But if I tell them I got a bad stomach, they say, oh, well, now I had a bad stomach once and this is the stuff that cured it. I am an alcoholic. Then in our spiritual life, before all else, I am an alcoholic. No matter how saintly I'm become, I'm still an alcoholic. Even if I become a saint, a heroic saint, I still can't drink. It's as simple as all that. If I become a heroic saint and take a drink, I'm going to be a drunken saint. That's practicing the principle, I am an alcoholic. Then in our emotional life, I am an alcoholic, therefore I must cut down on resentments. I must learn to avoid emotional upset too much or for too long periods of time because I can't, as an alcoholic, tolerate that. I am an alcoholic. And even in my physical life, I learned that I am an alcoholic and that I must use, therefore, intelligent helps that might be suggested to me to help my physical welfare, because if my physical welfare is up to par, I am not less likely to take a drink. When I become overtired, run down, I'm liable to take a drink because I'm an alcoholic. And overtiredness often brings on, in the alcoholic, the craving for alcohol. Then in our mental life, I'm an alcoholic, therefore I will avoid mental conflicts as much as I can. I will solve them. I won't put them off. I will avoid indecision. I'm an alcoholic. And therefore, all through my AA life, I will go about in my group activity, in my association with AAs. I am grateful to God, but I'm not bragging. I try to take 12 steps to the best of my ability and the best of my knowledge. But I only am another alcoholic. I'm nothing special. I'm not a big shot. I'm neither somebody in particular. I'm neither a nobody. I'm just an ordinary fella or an ordinary gal. Another member of AA trying to use the 12 steps to stay sober, to adjust to life, and perhaps to save my soul. I am an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic today. I will be an alcoholic tomorrow because I am an alcoholic. And I will remain an alcoholic always, forever. And when the day comes that I'm dying, I also know because of that principle that I will be dying as an alcoholic. But I immediately realize that when I die, if I have practiced even a modicum of these principles of AA, that I have the fond hope and the secure wish that I will be dying a sober alcoholic, a courageous alcoholic, with the courage to take that 13th step into eternity. And then all will be over. All the heartaches and the loneliness and the criticisms and the misunderstandings and the pain and the suffering, the sin and the shame will all be a thing of the past. And you and I, we will be together again. And God grant that we'll all be together again. All of us, poor alcoholics. May God love you all. Thank you.